FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for your listening pleasure, episode number XXX. I don't know what it is. This is a pre-recorded episode. I'm putting this episode up because either I can't be here or I am preoccupied and can't broadcast live tonight. So we are gathered together to wed these two in holy matrimony, Mr. Jim Black and Robert Simmons.
Hi.
And as best man, we have Christian Russell.
Hello. I am the best man.
Yes. This episode is rated triple X.
Yes. Because there is a bald dude on here.
Yeah. Couple.
Giggity giggity. All right.
You guys are so weird.
Yes.
Who else but Quagmire?
isn't it moronic, you know? But yeah, we're here. We are not live, unfortunately. But we appreciate you guys tuning in this week. And that'll do us for this episode. We'll see you next time on TFI.
Thanks.
No,
bye.
No, I'm kidding.
Best quickie ever.
Yes. Now you'll need a cigarette. If you smoke. Maybe you vape. I don't know. Who knows? Vaping's nasty, too. I mean,
I smoked once.
Yeah.
Yeah, once. It was a gas grill and his arm hair. It was not pretty at all.
Oh. You know, I remember I was like real, real little. My mom, she smoked like a pack and a half a day. Yeah. And I might have been like 9. And I just grabbed one of her cigarettes that was in the ashtray. You know, she set it over there and she was like reading the book. I just took it and I took a puff of it. I'm like, I see her doing it all the time. What must be great about this? She didn't see me at first. I took a puff of it and then all of a sudden I'm sitting there going, she looked at me and she slapped it out of my hand. I'm like, I don't see the appeal of this, you know, and I never did it again. I still don't, you know, but hey, people love it.
One time I saw my mom drinking Sprite, and I was like, I want some Sprite. She's like, you don't want the Sprite. I'm like, I want the Sprite. Give me the Sprite. And she's like, fine. And I was just like, bleh. But unlike the cigarette story, I have again taken part of the liquors. But
part of the liquors.
It was a while later, though, before I did that again.
It was not Sprite, right?
There was some Sprite, but there was more than just Sprite.
You know, it reminds me of the first
of the liquors.
First time I ever tried any form of alcohol. Again, I was probably around the age that I took the first puff. You know, I got home from school before my mom and dad did, because my mom, she worked. I don't know if you remember a old store. There's still some around called the Ben Franklin. They used to be more of a department store, yep, not just a craft store. But my mom worked at a Ben Franklin, and she usually got off around 4 o'clock, and I would get off the bus sometimes around 3:30. So I had like a half hour or so before she would get home. And I was in the kitchen making my little snack like I always did. And then I remembered I saw her and Dad once in a while would get a big glass mason jar of water out from above the cabinet, above the refrigerator, and they'd pour just a little glass of it, and they both drink it, and then they put the little glass jar or the big glass jar back in the cabinet. I'm like, what water. Is so great about that water? It was clear, you know. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to try it. So I grabbed a Dixie cup, climbed up there, got the jar, poured out a nice big old full Dixie cup of it, put the lid back on it, put it back in the cabinet, took a full swig of that thing. It was moonshine. I was throwing up all over the kitchen. I mean, it was like instant vomit everywhere. And about that time, my brother came home. Now, my brother was like, what have you done? And then he smelled the alcohol, and he's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
How much older was he? Or is he?
Yeah, he's like 20 years older than me. So
okay, so he immediately knew what 15, was going on.
15, 16 years older, yeah, honestly. He was like trying to get me calmed down, and there was still vomit all over the floor. And that's when Mom walked in. And yeah, I haven't liked alcohol since, but I will partake once in a while. So
have you at least learned how to utilize Dixie cups properly since then? Because you know the lines on the Dixie cups are supposed to be measurement lines.
No, it wasn't one of those kind of Dixie cups. It was like a little, like the little ones that you put in the bathroom. The little paper ones. They're also made by Dixie.
I don't drink where I tinkle, and I don't tinkle where I drink.
I'm surprised the moonshine didn't eat through that Dixie cup, to be honest.
I don't know what proof it was, but it was. I mean, it's like as soon as it hit my stomach, it came right back, and everything I ate the day before, you know, it's like,
literally poison. Delicious, delicious poison.
Yeah.
literally couldn't even.
But real Kentucky moonshine was my first exposure to alcohol, and. Yeah. But anyway, we are here to talk about Transformers because this is Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. And we
sometimes.
Yeah. We do like to talk about toys. We like to talk about the characters, and we like to talk about things surrounding the hobby. And this is a topic that we've actually spoken a little bit about. I believe Jim was on the episode the last time we talked on similar nature. But as you can see up there at the top of the screen, we're talking about dealing with negativity in the fandom as a fan. And we'll also touch a little bit about dealing with negativity from outside the fandom toward yourself being a fan. And this episode will probably help a lot of people, not just having been in the fandom for a long time, but more specifically people that might have recently started collecting or are a little bit shy about their collecting, because, you know, let's be honest, there are some people out there that are a little ashamed to admit they collect children's toys as an adult. But, you know, we're here to tell you that there's nothing wrong with it. I've been doing it for decades now. Rob's been doing it for decades. Jim Black.
Christian hasn't been alive for decades, but when he hits that mark.
He's like,
it's almost three decades.
Sure.
Okay.
He was like 8 when Armada hit, so. Wasn't it? Was it 8?
I was 11.
11. Okay. So, yeah. So, no, RID
I
is.
I was 19.
I was 9 when RID hit.
I was like 20 something. But, yeah. Sprite.
That's why you have me. I have different perspectives.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. But, you know, dealing with negativity is something that we, as fans, generally have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, especially if you frequent message boards, any kind of social media that is part of the fandom. You know, if you go to Facebook, I mean, I'm a part of many Facebook groups. And you cannot scroll through a Facebook group without seeing one person bitching about something, calling somebody a name because they feel a certain way about a certain figure. You know, it's like, I hate DX9, they're shit, and fan toys, yay. You know, or I'm sorry, fans toys, yeah. But there's negativity everywhere. I know you can go to work and somebody they find out that you collect toys and they rib you for it. You know, I luck out that my coworkers they kind of think it's cool. A few of them have actually checked out this podcast, you know, because we have a lot of downtime at my job. And they'll pull it up on YouTube. They've pulled it up on YouTube. And one guy sat through two episodes and he's like, this is really cool. He says, I didn't realize this, you know, this is, there's a whole fandom out there. And some of them are kind of geeks too, you know, just different kinds of geeks. You know, we collect toys. Some of them they're video game geeks and some of them they're, one guy he's really into, like role-playing board games and stuff, you know? So, everybody has their likes and they can relate to you in some way or shape or form. But then there's always inevitably the people is like, what are you, five? You know, the short answer is just tell them go fuck off, you know, but you know, we're going to sit here and we're going to talk a little bit about perspectives and how to approach talking to people about these things and how to generally keep your attitude upbeat, because this is a hobby of fun. You know, I mean, we love what we love for a reason. And I'll kick it off by saying, me personally, I collect for me. I collect what I like. I don't collect to impress anybody else. I don't collect to make somebody else happy. I collect because it makes me happy. And that's all that matters. This is the one thing I do in my life for me. You know,
I collect toys just to, you know, get more women.
Yeah. I mean, you use that rail
How's
racer.
How's that work so far?
I only got one.
Yeah. Does she like rail racer?
She doesn't even know what it is.
No. No, you're not using it properly.
Rail racer.
Just transform him into his other mode. And then there's also Nexus Maximus. Oh, wait a minute.
Let's not forget.
That was so funny.
Christian's sitting here like, my virgin ears.
What?
What?
I'm not slander about me.
I'm not a virgin. I have had sex once before.
I have sex all the time, just not with other people.
Oh.
Don't put that out about me. God.
I'm putting it out about myself. I'm married now, so I mean that's how it goes.
Hey. Whether her name's Rosie or whether her name's Rosita, it doesn't matter, you know. Hey.
Rosie Palm. That's the joke, Christian. You look confused.
I did not know at all. Yeah.
Let's not kink shame, you know. Everybody has things that makes them maximize.
The one I know by is Pamela Anderson.
Pamela Anderson.
I like it.
Yes. Yes. But see, hey, you know, these are insults that you can sling back at people that are negative at you. You know, we're being negative toward Christian right now because, hey, he's the young one on the podcast right now. So
I'm not being negative. It's friendly ribbing between friends.
It's friendly ribbing. I don't think you guys actually believe any of that stuff about me.
It's ribbing for his pleasure.
Rib for your listening pleasure.
Yeah.
Or was it for a rib?
The innuendo, just keep
that's going to be the podcast after dark.
In your endo. Yeah. Oh.
Which we actually need to do an after dark or after hours episode sometime soon. After dark. Yeah. After hours. TFYLP after hours. We've done a several. I think the last one we did, Aaron Archer was on. That's been a while. So
my hero.
Yes.
I think that was the last one I was on.
Was it?
Yeah, I've been out for a little while too. Been pulling some overtime on the weekends, so I haven't been able to join.
Extra money is good. You know,
I'm out of debt now. I just
More money for toys.
Eventually. Yes. Still looking for a rippersnapper.
Yes. You will love
toy money is the best money.
Yes.
I mean, I technically have one, but you know, I need the
You need the bigger one, yes.
Yeah.
We actually talked about that on the episode we recorded last night, like almost midnight. but yeah, I mean, it's a phenomenal toy. But yeah, negativity.
Since you beat up on me, can I go now?
Yes.
Okay. So my key to avoiding all the negativity is to have friends like you guys. That sounds super cheesy and stuff, but I have my small groups that I talk to and my individual friends that I talk to, and I try to avoid the larger groups. I know. Love you guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, I talk to Sergio a lot. I talk to our friend Nick G a lot. What? Are you guys laughing at Sergio? He's a funny guy.
No. I did that. You complete me. Oh.
I haven't seen that movie.
R.I.P. Vern Troyer.
Yeah. If that dates this episode recording.
I do the same thing that you do, Durana. I collect what I want. I try not to collect for anybody else. I got into a little bit of that phase a little bit ago. But came back, and then I really have fun with the people I know. That's why I go to events now. It's not, you know, of course you buy toys. And now I work for Captured Prey as my alter ego, Chip Russell. Beyond that, I really do it to keep in contact with the good friends I've made over the years.
You know, and that's one of the things, you know, it's like, you know, as I said at the top of the show, the reason for these pre-records is there's going to be times that I'm not going to be able to actually attend. And one of those instances would be if I were going to a convention, which, you know, Pete's show, Pete's Robot Convention in Cincinnati or Covington.
Pizza Robot Con.
Yes. It's what, at the end of June, I believe?
It's the beginning of June.
Beginning of June. Okay.
It's the second weekend.
And I will only be able to attend on a Saturday, so that will be probably when one of these episodes may be used.
In fact, the dealer floor is not open on that Saturday.
Really?
Really? It's only open on Sunday.
What?
I thought there was some, if you pre-registered, there was like some hours on Saturday or some such.
Then I may not go. That's the whole reason I want to go. But anyway, you know, going to conventions, and then in July, I'll be gone for a week on family vacation that is non-Transformer related for the first time in years. Literally over a decade that I've been since I've been on a non-Transformer related vacation. And that means going somewhere that there isn't a Transformer convention involved. Interrupt real quick.
It is exhibitor preview night, 6:30 to 9 on Saturday.
Hmm.
So, 2.5 hours at night.
Does that mean you have to be an exhibitor to preview it? Or are you previewing the exhibitors?
I think you're previewing the exhibitors if you pre-register for the ticket that gets you into it. It's like, you know.
That sounds like a dirty kind of peep show or something.
It does. I know what I'm doing on Saturday, though. I am doing that customizing class with the Pretender Shells.
I'd like one of the Swerves, since I've got a Swerve. I don't know.
Everyone's been hating on them, but I love them.
I think they're great.
It's a unique idea.
I think they're great. I'm not going to knock them. But anyway, Kristen, you were talking about, you know, collecting for yourself and not anyone else. And you did it for a little while. Why did you do it for, and what do you mean by collecting for someone else?
Well, it's not for someone else, but it's kind of following the popular collecting trends. I got lucky, I guess unlucky at the same time, is that the relaunch of Masterpiece coincided with me graduating from school and getting a really good job. So all of a sudden I had a lot of disposable income to pour into getting the same releases that everyone else was getting. And once I realized that I was doing that, I was like, well, what makes my collection unique now that I've got what everyone else has? And I didn't like that. So I sold off a bunch of stuff and retooled my collection to be what I like.
And that's a good thing to do. You know, I mean, I've done it several times. You know, Jim, since you haven't been on the show in a while, how are you dealing with negativity, and what are some forms that you actually encounter?
How do I deal with negativity?
Yes. You drink a lot?
Mm.
Go on a bender?
It depends. most people that I've encountered, just at work or just out in the community, they're generally pretty cool about it. A lot of them are just overtaken by like this wave of nostalgia because it gets them thinking about, you know, their childhood. And there was actually a coworker just last week, you know, because a few weeks back he and I were talking about you know, the collecting thing. He found out I was a toy collector and a Transformer collector in specific, and he was talking about how He used to have a few when he was a little kid in the early 2000s. I know we're old. Anyway, but he started describing
so like Christian. A few of them.
He started describing a few of them, and I was able to figure out what he was describing. He was describing Armada Scavenger, Unicron, Energon Optimus, and a few odd others from the Unicron trilogy. And you know, I just so happened to have a few of those for sale at the time, and so I made $50, and he got some of his childhood back. But as far as negativity, if I can speak,
not nativity, not, you know, you're not, yeah, not the Virgin Mary
negatively
here.
I can't English. I've not really ran into that a whole awful lot. I would think a lot more back in high school and that era, probably about 15 plus years ago. But as I've entered my 20s and 30s, that's pretty much dropped off for the most part. That may be due in part to, you know, the live action movies the past decade or so, and it returning to the forefront of pop culture, or any number of factors.
And that is a very a very good point. The live action movies, for better or for worse, have actually brought Transformers back into what is considered in and cool. Although I think we are on the backside of it, quite honestly.
Definitely.
But
definitely on the backside.
But I think that
more ways than one.
But I think that it did bring it into the limelight enough that made people remember, hey, or realize, hey, these things are still around. They can still be relevant. And I think that the fandom got a huge influx of new collectors because of the live action movies. Some of them have stuck around. Some of them, you know, got into it and realized, hey, this isn't my bag, baby. And then they fall away. You know, they trade in that Swedish enlarger pump for something better. And it's one of those things that, you know, it's both a blessing and a curse. A lot of fans don't like the live action movies for one reason or another. And we're not here to talk about the live action movies specifically, but the effect that they have had on this fandom has been generally a good one, I would think. Not just monetarily for the franchise, but also as like I said, an injection of fresh blood back into the fandom. We saw the largest BotCon numbers that we've ever seen whenever BotCon was still around, whenever the movie years were at their highest. You know, so
yeah, I mean, I think also, you know, it's cool to be a nerd lately, you know, compared to previous days. And then as well as, you know, I'm in my 30s and getting into the later side of the 30s, you know, as we start to become more and more of, you know, that just middle age folk, you know, we kind of set that tone, you know what I mean? Where it's like, it just becomes more and more accessible because more and more people have that nostalgic memories for it. You know, you're not the oddball out anymore. You know, that plus, again, you know, like, look at the Marvel superhero movies. A lot of that popularity fed on the nostalgia, you know, that our generation had on those comics as kids. And then plus, you know, just knocking it out of the park with the movies, you know, obviously helps.
Well, it's,
you know,
one, it's of just, those.
All that stuff's more accepting now.
One, you know, of those terms, geek chic, you know. I think we even had an episode on it about a year or so ago where, you know, we were talking how it's actually in to be geek now. I remember whenever I was in high school, geeks were still on that fringe of, you're a little bit weird, I don't want to be around you. Now I've got classmates that really didn't want to associate with me back in high school. They're like, you're cool as hell now. And I'm like, I'm just me, you know. I continued being me. And I was being me then. And I think the big problem is that, and this is a good point, for people trying to realize how to deal with the negativity. I was being me, but they were not being themselves. They weren't accepting themselves for what they like. They were trying to fit in, and that's why a lot of negativity comes at us as fans, is other people trying to fit in. It's like, you don't fit in with my crowd, therefore I can't accept what you're doing, so I'm going to make fun of you for it. And that type of mindset is just, it's bandwagoning, I guess. You know, they're trying to get you on their bandwagon. But if you enjoy what you enjoy, you know, what difference does it make how that person feels about what you're doing?
My philosophy on that is they laugh at me because I'm different. I laugh at them because they're all the same.
Saw that on a t-shirt like 10 years ago.
That was really edgy.
it's like 2005 call. They want their t-shirt back. Not TFW, yeah. 2005. I mean, the end of year 2005.
The real life negativity. I'm a software developer, so like my whole career has always been kind of in that nerd area, you know, with other nerds, and mm-hmm. So like professionally, people are generally like developers, and, you know, they're an oddball bunch anyways, you know. So in general, most people are just like, oh, that's Rob. That's part of Rob. It's funny. You know, like not in a ha-ha laughing at you, just, you know, one of those, that's his quirk, you know, not in a mean way, but the exception of actually my last job, a lot of the IT world switches jobs a lot, like every like year or two switching jobs.
Contracts are up, you know.
Contracts, I mean, layoffs happen. Most of my gigs have been full-time, but layoffs happen all the time. You know, they shut down a division. You get rid of software developers. We're not a cheap bunch. You know, it's a very big cost. But my last gig, it was something to make fun of. And the thing is, I was there with – it was a small team, but it was a lot of people I knew. You know, like one of the guys I went to college with, you know. So overall, I was just like, meh. But it is definitely a little different when your boss, you can tell he's definitely laughing at you and not with you. And it was just like – I mean, and he wasn't a bad boss or anything for the most part, but that was definitely something that was just like, all right, let's do our work, and then I don't want to hang out with you anymore. You know, not in a mean way. It's just we're different people. Let's just accept it and make some good software together and then go about our ways. But, you know, he was a little older, and there was one other team member that was a little older, you know, a generation up. And the response from them was negative, and, you know, I needed my paycheck. I need my health insurance more than that. You guys know my situations, but it, you know, generally just ignoring it was to do it, you know, and just keep my cool, not worry about it. You know, that's the little bits of negativity as they happened were, you know, it's on them. It's not on me. It's not something I needed to correct. You know, it's just like, and my other friends that were on that team, it would happen and they would just be like, Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? Or they would tell me after, like, God, I wish you would stop doing that. You know what I mean?
It's a form of workplace. What's the word? Harassment, I guess is yeah. Because I mean, you're being badgered about something for no reason other than like, the person doesn't like you.
It would happen with anything. Was what was annoying. Like, so there's the toy collecting thing. You know, I was like, oh, I got to go to my convention. You know, not that BotCons are happening, but, you know, I went to TFCon last year to make up for it. So, you know, there's some jokes about it, and it's, again, it's obviously like, ha-ha.
You got to go do that robot thing, don't you?
Yeah. You know, and it just generally just terse answers. Be like, yeah, I had a great time, saw a lot of my friends, and I'd leave it at that, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it would bleed into anything else about me that might come up. And so he would always say it like he was just kidding around, but I could tell it was more than that. But it never got enough to where, you know, like I was like, oh, I need to call HR or anything, which, you know, I could have if I needed to. But, you know, and it never got to that point. And I think at the end of it, you know, I think he liked working with me and respected me as a developer, which as a boss, that's all I really need.
Yeah. Well, and you also maintain a level of understanding that your happiness isn't dependent on whether or not he likes you or not, too.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, if it had started like, I was getting negative reviews or something, and I felt it was because of that, or if he was singling me out in a different way because of it, you know, I might have raised the flag, but those things didn't happen. So, you know, again, it was fine, but it always kind of irked me. Just like, come on, let it go. Can we talk about work, please? Can we talk about work? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm happy to say that, you know, with my career, which like 15 years of software development, that's all that comes to mind anymore. you know, if there was something else that was so minor that didn't stick around.
Well, I think in large, though, like you said at the beginning, you live or your workplace, or your work environment is generally that is inhabited by geeks, essentially. You know, and I'm kind of on the other end of that. You know, I've said many times, I'm a truck driver. I drive a semi. And that is not the type of job that you typically associate with geeks. You know, usually, you know, you got your guys that like fishing and hot rods and motorcycles and cars.
Well, you can
and,
you, know. You can give them a fishing hot rod. I can see it on the shelf behind you.
Yes, that one right there. But there, it's just generally not an environment that you would expect a lot of geeks to be in. Now, I know that there are fellow truck drivers who are collectors. You know, I know Rob Milton, who a member of the Realm of Collectors. He's a fellow truck driver. You know, it's kind of like a camaraderie. You know, we kind of know what each other's feels like. You know, you can go into, I know Insane Galvatron, who helped found this podcast. He's also a truck driver, and I've heard him say many times. You know, I've been actually been on the phone with him the last day before a convention, before he's heading out. People in the background say, "Hey, Stuart, you heading to that robot convention?" You know, giving him a rib, because they might think it's silly, but it's something that he enjoys. You know, like I said, I feel lucky because my coworkers, I don't feel that they think less of me for what I do and what I enjoy. They don't rib me for it. And if they do, if they have, or if they do, they don't do it in front of my face. They don't do it to where I feel like, hey, I'm a shithead. I don't get that feeling. And I feel lucky for that, but I have worked in places before as a truck driver that people's like, you, what? You're going where? You collect what? Why? You know,
meanwhile, they're meticulously managing their fantasy sports league.
Yes.
you know, it's like literally the same thing, guy.
Yeah.
Literally.
We're all, and again, like that t-shirt says, you know, we're all geeks of about something. You know, whether it be, you know, sports, whether it be toys, baseball cards, fishing, working on cars, what have you. We all have something that we enjoy, and there's nothing wrong with it. You know, we just recently had a new AC heating and air system put in this house, and one of the installers, he was actually installing the thermostat, and I was actually in here editing something for the podcast, and he overheard it, and he kind of stepped to the door here and knocked behind me, and he looked in here, and he's like, "Holy crap!" He goes, yeah. I said, "Come on in." And he looked over here, which is where all my masterpieces are. And the very first thing he said, "Dude, the original Starscream," which he pointed at Masterpiece Starscream. But hey, kudos to the dude. He recognized G1 Starscream. And he's like, "I remember him. I remember him too." You know, I thought that was cool. And he thought it was cool as hell. You know, he's like, I
love when that happens.
You know, he's like,
thanks, cable installers.
Yeah, he's like, I had no idea. And then the antithesis of that was way back whenever my collection was at its biggest, back in probably 2004, 2005. I had probably around anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000 figures. I mean, they were everywhere, you know, big totes full of sealed stuff, you know, stacked to the ceiling. My entertainment center was covered. It's like the top of it had every G1 combiner with the exception of Monstructor complete all across the top of it. And then I had all the TFC book style reissues, all the Hasbro reissues, all in there like books. And then loose versions of those same figures in front of those book style. A pizza delivery guy comes over. The door opens up and he's just sitting there and he's kind of looking around in the living room there, you know, with all the toys. And he goes, and I quote, "Looks like a fucking Toys R Us exploded in there, man." You know,
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not delivering pizzas, boy. You know? But
hey, don't knock pizza delivery. Everybody's got to make a paycheck.
Hey, you know, don't only because he knocked me, but I was giving it right back to him. I wasn't ashamed of it. I'm like, yeah, that's.
Oh, hobby. He meant it in a negative way? Like, yeah. I could see somebody saying that, like...
No,
he sounded very negative to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, that's because you hate Toys R Us.
Well, okay. Fine.
Yeah, in all fairness, there are much better toy stores than Toys R Us. I mean, there's one I can think
Toys
of.
Toys R Us doesn't exist, huh?
Exactly.
Well, sure, I mean, but there's one that comes to mind that has great toys, great prices, and great service.
Who is that?
Yeah. What one would that be, Duran? Do you remember?
It's on the tip of my
TF Source?
Captured. Oh, Lord. You said the name that has should not be named.
I mean, when you set them up that easy for me, I'm going to knock them out of the park.
You know, I'm going to take a video clip of this recording, and I'm going to send it to Orson, and you will forever be banned. You will not get 24 stacks coins. You will get a flaming bag.
Damn.
You will get
it's
a
23.
Bag. Of, you will get a bag of gummy dicks in your next order.
You'll get the business end of Rail Racer. You'll get the business end of Rail Racer, but he'll be in robot mode.
Christian's like, hold my beer. But
I'm hoping he has some gummy dicks that somebody's saying.
No.
You can order them in bulk from a website. Just saying.
And how would you know this, Jim?
Because my sister loves to perform very wonderful mean pranks.
You have received a bag of gummy dicks before.
No, but I know someone who has.
Oh.
It's honestly a riot.
So that's who is the answer if I was wrong? Where did those come from, Christian?
They came from the lovely Captured Prey.
Oh, were those? It was his free gift.
There's 23... X Transbox Crank and Stacks Master Mini Series coins.
Oh, I didn't know
here,
those were up.
Let's open
like
one.
Scrabble tiles.
It's not like he doesn't have another one to keep
it's
sealed.
Not like right? I got to keep them sealed. So that's.
Yeah, a Crank and Stacks.
The one side. That's the other side.
They're actually kind of pretty.
They're very pretty. I didn't need 23 of them, but totally here we
do
are.
Do you even have that toy?
No.
I had both of them, and they were okay. But, you know, the thing is, you know, it seems to be the end thing with your free gift to get a collector's coin. So,
I tell the story, Duran?
Sure.
So this story is from Christmas time, this past Christmas. Because of, you know, TF Source being what they are, I had ordered... What was it? Bounce back for me, one for me, one for Duran, and one for Orson from TF Source. And they were running a promo that if you got $300 in an order, they would send you a free gift.
A free gift?
I was like, wow, for a $300 threshold to get a free gift, that has to be, you know, something pretty good.
At least
I love
at
those $300 free things.
At least a deluxe or something other. You know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like a toy. I opened the box and it was an MP Hot Rod coin. That was my free gift with my $300
it's
order.
Like,
and I was just like, yay, thanks, but like, really?
Like, I would have rather just had nothing.
Yeah. I did keep that coin because I, you know, didn't have it for my release, but it's like, for $300, that's the free gift. And since then, Orson has been sending me all sorts of crazy stuff in my Captured Prey orders.
As your free gift.
As my free gift. The first thing he ever sent me was a piece of paper with the Capture Prey logo printed on it with a note that said, tape this to your window, which I did. And then I moved, so it's not taped to my window anymore right now, but I did.
You should have left it on your window.
Maybe. But it wasn't even color printed or anything.
When
it was stick
from,
right there.
Yeah, when you move from where you're at right now, leave a Capture Prey logo taped to your window.
I'm sure they'll love that. And then what else did he send me? He sent me one more thing. Oh, he sent me a bundle of loose instructions and file cards for Titans Return figures. Oh. And now 23 coins. By the way, listeners, if you guys
want
these things, I will send them to you. Please take them from me. I don't need 23 of these things.
Are you coming to TFCon Chicago?
Yeah.
Bring them and I'll take one off your hands.
Okay. Hopefully I won't have any by then.
It will be a free gift.
It will be a free gift.
Well, stick it in a pocket somewhere for me.
I'm sure Jim Black would love to have one. I've already got one, so I don't need one. But
are you sure you don't need like four or five more?
No.
I don't suppose I would mind one.
I will send them to you guys.
Just so you know.
And any listener, we could put it as part of the Patreon. If you subscribe for $1 a month, I will send you one of these coins.
Speaking of sending people things, Duran, do you happen to know, does Don still need a Supreme or a
actually no
Supreme G-Dor?
No, we have one.
No,
I'm just waiting to get a T-shirt in, and then it will be sent out.
Okay, because I found a place locally that has one.
Yeah, I'm still the place that I got the T-shirts that I made before. It's a good place, but they are still rather expensive there. I'm looking for an economic way to get the T-shirts made that won't like break me up. Because
we'd had a T-shirt maker on the show.
I know.
Throw the T-shirt in with the shirt then, and just ship it to him.
And actually, Sergio's made a few shirts. I don't know what he did.
I did try to go that route first, and could not help
too much.
Yes, could not help. And it's also too small a run, you know, because I don't need that many right off the top of my. Right off the top.
Those shirts that Sergio made a couple years ago, Rob, they were $20. I think he made under 20 of them, right? The beast mode ones.
Yeah, I didn't pick one up, but that's what I was thinking of.
But you also have to understand he's not working for that printer anymore.
I don't think he got those through.
I don't think he got it through that.
Oh, okay.
Let's ask him. Anyway, can I talk about my experiences with interacting with people and having this hobby?
Absolutely.
No. And there's a reason I am the way I am about it now, but I want to
Jim seems
tell
offended
my,
that
tell
you're
my
offended.
Origin story. Oh, Jim, you're offended? You can go first.
No, I was just hoping you would deal with my negativity.
Oh, well.
Deal with it, mother.
I will deal with it. When I was in school, so this was in the mid to late-ish 90s, elementary and middle school kind of deals.
Okay.
Little kid school. I got beat up for liking Transformers on the playground. People would hit me and fight me.
Really?
Because Power Rangers was better or Pokemon was better. But yeah, I got actually
an era.
Okay. I got beat up and I didn't want to get beat up anymore. So I began hiding that I like Transformers.
I can't relate because the era I grew up in, Transformers were the shit.
I'm just saying what happened. It was Beast Wars time, and I guess people didn't like it.
I'm just so flabbergasted that you're liking something at the age it's intended for.
And getting beat up for it.
Yep. Good times. But
incidentally, my girlfriend's daughter, who is 13, went to school today with a Captured Prey T-shirt on.
That's legit.
Raising children right.
Yep. That's awesome.
I was proud of her.
All right, so since the movies came out in 2007, I was a freshman in high school, and since then I've kind of worn it on my chest as able to be out. I'm not going to try and compare it to someone that age coming out with their sexuality, but it kind of was like coming out. I didn't have to hide it anymore. It was cool again. And in my professional career now, I don't go out of my way to tell people that I do it, but I definitely don't hide it. I've got a Optimus Prime business card holder. I've got, a couple of the Transformers neckties from a couple of years ago that I wear. And if someone finds out, great. I'm not going to hide who I am anymore. It's a big part of what I do.
Hell yeah.
I'm not going back into the darkness.
Don't go back into the closet, no.
So I recently started this job I'm at now about 2 months ago. And I was trying to stay remote. And the place I ended up that I'm hired at now did video call interviews. So this is literally like what y'all are seeing right here is the first time they saw me and they're like, what's that in the background? And I was like, here you go. And they're like, that's awesome. It's a young company, full of young people. Like I'm one of the older guys.
And to see that you do that makes you fit in that much more.
Well, I mean, they were just like, I'm not ashamed or worried about or concerned about it at all. I'm a grown ass man, functioning adult, where, bills first, then toys,
Then family.
Yeah. Yeah. nah, more toys. But yeah, so there was absolutely no quibbles about that from anybody. You know, they just wanted to see more pictures. They wanted to see more of it. You know what I mean? So it was a nice, like, 180-degree flip from the previous place. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I actually went to my interview from my current employer. I dress. It was like casual dress. You know, I had like slacks on, but the polo I had on had a Decepticon insignia embroidered on the chest. And he did ask, "What's that on your shirt?" And I said, "It's a Decepticon insignia." And he goes, "Decepticon?" He said, "Is that like a Transformer thing?" And I'm like, "Yep, it's my hobby." He's like, "Okay, cool. I guess that's cool." You know. I didn't care.
A little unsure, but
yeah, yeah. But at least not he judging. Knew. Yeah, at least he knew what it was. You know, I mean, or somewhat.
Yep.
So Jim,
yes,
do you have any relatable stories?
As far as getting picked on for it, not really anything earth-shattering in my adult years, but back in school, you know, like in class, I'd like be sitting at my desk, I might be sketching, you know, just doodling in a notebook, you know, Optimus or Mega Man or something, and I would catch some flack for that on occasion, you know, but around the time I was, you know, my junior senior year, I was class of 01. That's when a lot of the t-shirts and stuff really started coming out at Hot Topic. That was when that first started becoming a thing. And I remember I had there was a black t-shirt and it just had the Generation One, you know, the multicolored chrome looking Decepticon insignia right there on the chest. And you know, I wore that to school on occasion and be that and a blue flannel shirt, because that's, you know, 90s, 2000s flannel was still a thing.
I dig that Nirvana look.
Never really got beat up for it or anything like that. I did get my binder taken from me and thrown into the boys' room there one time, but nothing too traumatic, I don't suppose.
Was it your Transformers Trapper Keeper?
It was one of those. You remember years ago where some of the binders had like the football or basketball type material on the outside? Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those.
Do you even remember a Trapper Keeper?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember those. I remember the Lisa Frank stuff. You know, just all kinds of those
Lisa Frank
supplies. The Yikes pencils. Yeah, all that, man.
I don't remember those.
Yikes pencils?
No, I don't know what that is.
What?
No.
Okay, assignment for everybody. Google Yikes pencils.
I'm afraid to.
They're pretty awesome.
I'm afraid to.
I'll do it.
Yeah. I'll do it.
Oh, man, you can do it.
Trapper Keeper is. I don't know what that is.
The first video or the first image result is some kid with like a do-rag pulled over and sunglasses that. On. It is so 90s. That is so
90s. So 90s.
Is he wearing JNCO jeans?
I wore a lot of JNCOs.
I don't have it set up to
you
do
gotta
that
Google
right
this commercial for Yikes pencils. It starts off with a kid with his cap turned backwards going,
yeah, oh, like that. Wow. Like, okay.
Seriously.
I'll look it up
there's
after
so
the show.
Much tood in this video.
It is 90s cheese at its finest.
Is it Big Bad Battle and Bruticus tood?
It's worse.
Pretty close.
It's worse. Although, I do like Big Bad Battle and Bruticus.
Yeah, who doesn't?
But, okay. The thing is, we've talked about negativity from outside the fandom to us as fans. We've talked about reading, you know, negativity on the boards. Negativity on the boards and on Facebook, social media is always going to be around. People are going to disagree. There's no point in getting arguments over stuff. Really, there's not.
What I found is...
It's highly regular for something that you like particularly... That somebody will trash it on somewhere. You'll read it. I see it all the time. But go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, what I've found that for online, for Facebook Messenger, for Facebook groups, I generally do not go to public groups. I stay away from them. I have no interest in them. So, you know, there's, which it kind of puts you in a bit of an echo chamber, which is bad, but it's a hobby. So I don't really care. It's not important, you know, to life. I can be in an echo chamber for my hobby and that can be fine. So I don't, and that doesn't mean like everybody in our echo chamber always agrees on everything. Quite the opposite. We have a large variety of opinions. But you know, we also know we know each other. So, you know, we say, oh man, that sucks. Like, I don't take it personally. I can imagine that person saying it and how they would say it, you know, and it helps not take that harshly. But when I found that, like, online, if I'm on boards or something, usually I find it good to put out your opinion, you know, if you want to put out your opinion in the mix, and then just leave it. Hmm. What I find a lot of internet arguing on boards is person A and person B. I think X. I think Y. Well, I think X. Well, I think Y. Well, I think X. It's like you're literally just repeating yourselves because you want to be the last person to comment. Mm-hmm. Just grow up a little bit, put out your opinion, and go on with your day. You know, some people agree, some will disagree, and it's whatever. I mean, you can engage in that discussion, not take it personally. And, you know, the point is you want to express your opinion. We like to yab about ourselves. It's kind of what humans do. You know, let other people yab about themselves. You don't have to – neither of you are right or wrong. It's a hobby. So just do that and then move on and look forward to the next toy to talk about. Don't get wrapped up in it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I mean, like I said, we've covered this topic before on the podcast and, you know, but you know, the two of you wasn't on this pod on, even on the cast at the time. So it's good to have your input, on this, you know, good, fresh insight on this. And there's something else. There's a different kind of negativity that I want to end this on. And that's negativity from close friends and family. You know, people that you really care a lot about generally. You know, I mean, I know some of us have family members or in close family members that we don't want to associate with. I mean, it happens. But in general, you know, your family is the closest ones to you. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And then there's your close inner circle friends. And sometimes those inner circle friends may not necessarily share in what you enjoy. You know, I mean, that they may be friends for different reasons. You know, I know Kelly, who helped me get TFYLP off the ground, with geekexistence.com 8 years, almost 9 years ago now. I knew nothing about podcasting and the technology needed to do it. He helped me get started off because he's a fellow geek. He likes Transformers. He doesn't hate them. You know, he doesn't collect. He doesn't follow Transformers. He's not a collector, as it were. But he's more of a gamer and more of a, he likes gadgets. You know, and that was the thing behind geekexistence.com was, you know, he like did gadgets and reviews for gadgets and games and everything. And then I would do toys and we just congealed them together into one website. Well, you know, he's in my inner circle of friends. I don't get to talk to him as much anymore because he lives a lot farther away, but I still consider him a close friend, and he's never really given me negativity about Transformers or anything. But in a what-if situation, you know, he's the type of friend that you could consider a very close friend. He's a geek, but, you know, what if he didn't share in my love of Transformers? He thought it was kind of stupid. You know, and I kind of ran into this with a partner that we partnered with, and that was and you know, a little bit of backstory on TFYLP for those of you who are relatively new to the show. You know, we were TFYLP was part of geekexistence.com. We were kind of like the toy geek part of the aspect of the podcast. Well, there was a guy that partnered with us on the show, on the website, and he also did like computers and tech stuff. He also did guns, you know, which is you know, they're gun geeks too. So about 2 years in, a year to 2 years in, he got with Kelly and talked Kelly into kicking the toy geek off the show or off the site. You know, we don't need this stupid toy stuff, this stupid Transformers stuff on our website that has legitimate, and in his eyes, legitimate draw. You know, because his YouTube channel was getting thousands of subscribers. I just had a fledgling YouTube channel. At the time, we had probably less than 50 subscribers. You know, so he didn't
see it. I know what that's like.
Yeah, he didn't see it as a necessary part of the website. So they asked me to leave. You know, Kelly did it against his better judgment, and we've since reconciled about it. But and that's how I went off and started TFYLP.com, kept this podcast rolling. And now, Kelly eventually got fed up with the antics, and he shut down GeekExistence.com as a website. TFYLP is still rolling 9 years later. So
we're the best.
Yeah, we're the best. Oh yeah. but the thing is that here we had an example of a fellow geek that didn't accept my fandom, didn't accept me as a hobby. I took that as a challenge, and I'm like, you know what? This is an affront to me personally. And I stood my ground, and I think it's paid off. That could also come from family members too. I've received my fair share of criticism from my family. You know, my mom, especially my dad. You know, why do you waste your money on those stupid toys? They don't do anything for you. You can't take them with you to your grave. Well, Dad, you can't take your woodwork to your grave with you. You know. You can't take your mom. You can't
hobbies
take your,
are hobbies.
Yeah, you can't take your quilting with you to your grave. It's something you do because you enjoy it. This is what I do to enjoy. And
who doesn't love working with their wood?
Yeah. I hate it when the glue goes everywhere at the end.
Yeah,
jeez.
Just dries all over everything. Yeah,
those splinters are hell.
All you just really got to give it a shellacking. But
Axon?
Yeah. But the thing is like both of my mom and dad, I think the most sobering moment was like whenever Rick's book came out here recently. And I did about 80% of the photography for that book. And to see my name in print in the acknowledgments, and to see my photography logo in the book, and I gave my mom and dad a copy of it, and whenever she opened it up, to see the tears of pride in her eyes was acknowledgement enough. Like, you've actually done something with this hobby, this stupid little hobby of yours. You've actually done something with it. And I'm like, yeah, that not that
That's
book,
very
Jim.
Cool.
Not that book, Jim.
Not that book.
Not that book. But that is one of his books.
The right author.
Right author, wrong book. But and if you want that book, there's a link on tftalk.net, on tfyop.com. Just scroll down on the right side of the page there. It's the complete unofficial vintage guide, or unofficial guide to vintage Transformers. I'll get it out here in a moment. But
what he said.
Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, that's an example of family members. You know, of course, my sisters, my older sisters, they're not necessarily approving. I mean, one of them's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of cool. The other one don't care. And the other one disapproves wholeheartedly. It's kind of like the full spectrum there. My brother, he collects Hot Wheels, so he can't say anything, you know, and he doesn't. You know, he's cool. He's cool with it.
I would be jealous of him if I were you.
Why?
His toys are so much more affordable.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Studio Series, you know, $20 for a deluxe. He gets 99-cent cards.
Although they may make up for it in quantity.
Yeah. There was, at the house that he used to live at in Tennessee, there was a room that he had. He was like me back in the mid 2000s. He had totes upon totes upon totes upon totes that was full of Hot Wheels. And then the room that he had set aside for his Hot Wheels, which was called, you guessed it, the Hot Wheel room, was wallpapered with sealed Hot Wheels, floor to ceiling. I'm like, I can dig that. I can dig that. You know, he since sold that and restarted, but you know, it's cool to have a family member that gets it per se. But I know that there are some people out there that have family members that may or may not accept your hobby. And there are certain ways to deal with it. Do you guys have any relatable issue with family members that may not completely understand or approve?
My parents don't understand or approve, but they also are just like, whatever. You know, I'm confident enough in, you know, in myself, you know, and I...
And you froze.
Whatever, out in the sticks, you know, that type of thing. You know, and then I got... With college and all
you,
that.
You your video froze on my end for a moment there.
Everybody froze on my end. Yeah.
Me too.
Last I heard is they don't understand, but they, and then you froze.
Yeah. So
to be continued next week.
No, they, I mean, they don't understand, but they don't care either. You know, like I grew up poor in a trailer somewhere. So, you know, I mean, I went off to college and
single wide trailer in the Everglades right here. So,
you know, yeah. And I have, you know, and all my cousins on my mom's side, I'm one of like 17 cousins on my mom's side. So, you know, big family on that side, you know, and I've been very successful in my life or whatever. So nobody really ever said that. They definitely don't understand it. But again, they don't care. If it was impacting my life in a negative manner, I think it would be different. And I think that would be good for family. I think it's good for family to say, hey, I don't care what your hobby is, but, you know, if you're not paying your bills because, you know, you're making bad choices, you know, you got to pay your bills first before you can buy the plastic crack or the other crack for that matter. You know, I think that's good to have family say. Now, family's just, I don't understand it, so it's bad. It's like, oh, get off it, go away, shut up.
I'm assuming you meant the diecast metal crack as well as being the other crack.
Yes. Okay. 100%.
Yes.
Okay. On the nose, in the nose, you know.
But, you know, the thing is that if family stepping in for a reason like that, and you're right. If you know, go and buy toys with your paycheck and then not have enough money to buy groceries for the rest of the week until the next paycheck, and or you pay for some toys, or you pay for a pre-order from Captured Prey, just say for example. And then your rent is due later that week, and you don't have the money to pay that rent, that's being irresponsible with it, you know. And I can understand family or friends stepping in and saying, hey, you've got a problem here. Because that is a form of addiction, you know. Let's be honest here. Call it what it is. It's an addiction. And in a way, we are all addicts of this. We're plastic crack addicts. There are times that, you know, I have overspent, you know, recently, but not after I've already paid my bills. It's like I paid my bills and then I went and bought toys and I didn't hardly have anything left over to last me till the next paycheck, but I lasted, you know, because, you know, I had my bills paid for everything. I had enough for gas, you know, food's already in the house.
Sure we've all done the little times like that, but you know, if you get it to be a problem, I think it would be good for your family to step in like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm lucky that my other hobby is fiscal responsibility.
Nice.
That's how much of a nerd I am. Like paying down debt, like, let's just say I have to be sitting down when it happens, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
you get serious about it.
Hell yeah.
All right.
That's a great hobby to have.
You know, okay, so we've talked about, you know, friends, family, we've talked about coworkers, you know, people outside the fandom, you know, let's say you go to a grocery store, you know, I'm sure we've all, not a grocery store, but a retail store, and you throw that Transformer up on the conveyor belt, we've all gotten that slide eye, you know, from the cashier.
Like, oh, is it somebody's birthday party?
No, it's mine, bitch. It's mine, bitch. But no, seriously, we've all gotten that at one point or another. Whether or not you've noticed it or not, you've gotten it.
Sure.
Whether it be from an employee or the person in line behind you. We've see negativity from fans in the fandom, negativity amongst fans. Let's talk about a piece of negativity as well that a lot of people may not consider. And that's negativity from the toys themselves, from just being in the hobby. It might get to the point where, and it has...
Toys talk to you.
No. It gets, and it has me at times. It has me at times. Gotten to the point where I sit down and think, is it worth it to continue this anymore? Do I want to continue this? And, well, long story short, I'm still here. I'm still collecting it. I'm still doing it. There comes a point when you stop and realize, you know, do I want to keep doing this? And, you know, Rob said he's pushing late 30s. So is Jim, and you know, well, we still have our zygote up here, but
don't age too fast now. I'm 34. I'm in the early 30s.
I'm 26.
We still have our zygote up here.
Jeez. I remember when I was 26.
I'm sorry. We still have our fetus up here.
That's Sergio. He's 22.
No, he's a zygote. He's a zygote.
No, he's 20. He's 21.
Well, no, Jack Bruner. He's even younger. I think he's only like 19. So,
is he really?
Yeah. He's still a teenager.
Do you see Christian's eyes light up? He's like, sweet, someone I can pick on now.
Yeah. That's why I'm friends with Sergio.
Yeah,
it's great.
So you know, the thing is that you know I've gotten times whenever I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm over 40 now, and 2 years, I'll be 45 years old. I'll be right up there with Don.
Don stopped aging. He maxed out the numbers.
You know, I mean, let's face it. Don will be pushing 50 before too long. You know, and I've known fans. I've known collectors. There's a great guy. I'll say his screen name. Some of you may have seen him years and years ago. He's since passed on, and may he rest in peace. Backscatter. He was a great, great guy. He was very quiet in the fandom generally. And he was actually, whenever TFTalk.net or, well, Transformers Homage for a little while, had a website and we had a message board. He was actually one of the few people that was a very staunch regular on there. And I remember having some discussions with him. He was a really great guy. But I found out not too long ago that he died a couple years back, and that really saddened me because he was such a nice and genuine guy. He was a collector of Transformers that was in his mid-50s. He was a full-on adult when Transformers first came out in 1984. And, you know, he had, from what I understand, his collection was quite nice. You know, you can kind of figure... here we are adults. We know our collecting habits. We know, you know, if we have the opportunity to start collecting a new line and we get hooked line and sinker on it, you know, you're going to collect loose and sealed, especially if it's a new concept or relatively new concept. Well, maybe not Rob. Rob opens those bitches and breaks them instantaneously.
Toys are not investments.
Nope.
Well, some people do view them that way. I don't know if he Backscatter did this or not.
People are wrong.
But
toys are horrible.
But the point is that he was a collector that was in his mid-50s. By the time he passed, he might have been pushing 60. I don't know. But I do remember talking to him, and I do remember he was, you know, he was an elder statesman, as it were, in the hobby. He never got out. He was in the fandom from 1984 up until the day he died. And I see people like that, and I use that as a beacon of, hey, there is hope in this fandom. You know, there is nothing wrong with being a fan of toys, even well up into my senior years. You know, and I'm not saying 50 is senior, even though it's getting there. But at the same time, I've had those thoughts. Man, I don't want to be 50 years old and still hunting down new toys. You know,
buy them on the internet. You can hunt them down.
Well, even online, you know, or 3D print them by that time. Who knows? But
just have design. Orson swing by.
Yeah, have Orson swing by on his moped.
He's going to be old, too.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's in his late 30s, too. He's up there. But the thing is, you got age is just a number. And there are times whenever I think the desire for living life in a way that doesn't involve the toys. You know, I want to travel more. I want to do things more. I want to be able to go out and do things that aren't necessarily Transformer related. But I'm going to be honest. My paycheck does not cover the expense of this expensive hobby, life, and another hobby to boot.
I got the solution for you.
I can't be a gigolo. I'm sorry. That's just not an option.
All right, I got a backup plan for you. Being Mr. Fiscal Responsibility, budget. You put in how much you want to spend a month on Transformers, and if you want to,
but
do
that's just it though. Transformers are so important that they ultimately come out more important than anything else. But well, I mean, I'm not saying that the choice, desire though,
and yeah. That's what's important is yeah. That you're making the choice. And if it comes to time that, you know what, hey, I really want to take that trip to Hawaii with the family, then, you know, if you're, you know, budget is $100 a month, I mean, you know, just make up numbers, then on toys, then you say, you know what, I'm going to crank it down to 10 bucks a month. I'm not going to buy, and that way I can get 90.
So you can't get anything but a Titan Master or a Prime Master.
Save up.
Five deluxes a year.
Yeah.
I mean, you take that 10 a month, and you put it into the savings for your Transformer budget. You know, you make those decisions to get there because ultimately it's just stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just stuff. Well, it is not important. Time with your family is important. It's just stuff. And I think collectors, me too, you know, suffer a lot from FOMO, fear of missing out.
Absolutely. And
guess what? We're wrong. You may think, oh man, if I don't get on that pre-order, I'll have to pay, you know, double on eBay afterwards. The amount of toys that happens with is pretty small.
Tell me.
It might happen.
Tell me.
He's still saving up for Generations Metroplex.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, that might happen, but it's worth that risk to get that vacation with the family if that's what's more important to you. You know, so it's don't let the stuff control you because it's just stuff. And guess what? If that thing does become double the cost later, you're budgeting your money. You let it build up, and if you want to spend up, but you may just want to buy some other stuff. You're not going to die because whatever, because Downbeat's not in your collection. I'm in the same bucket. I'm not going to pay $200+ for him, but I'll wait for the reissue.
I've got it. So I got in on the ground floor of that one. I'm just using that as an example of like doubles
well,
in price.
Even worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you know, it's I just think you got to if you feel that your collection is being negative on you, then I definitely think you should react to it, whether that's by budgeting. That's by getting rid of some stuff. Christian, I think, has already mentioned it this podcast. He was buying stuff just because other people were buying it, and then he corrected it. I used to buy everything FunPub, and I actively disliked half of it, but I kept buying it because, you know, I had it, and I finally got rid of it, and I enjoy it. I enjoy my collection all the much more for that. And I'm currently purchasing some stuff now to make me enjoy what I really enjoy more. And you know what? And it may – again, it's a hobby, you know. Do what you want. It's just stuff. And if you change your mind later, you know what? And I decide, you know what? I really want to have everything FunPub did again just for the hell of it. I can go buy it again. It's still out there. I'll budget my money and shift it, you know, what the purchases go to. So don't let your hobby control you. And if you decide to completely quit collecting, I mean,
there are people that's done that, you know.
Yeah. And I'm still going to be chatting with the same friends and the same stuff. Maybe not about Transformers anymore, but even though it's mainly Transformers, we collect other things. We talk about other things, You know, mm-hmm. we communicate through social media, you know, even if it, I get out of Transformers, which I don't see happening, but it's still my Transformer family and nothing will change that.
Well, you know, it's like I've told you guys before, maybe not you guys specifically, but the guys on the podcast before, there are times whenever I really think that there probably will be a time that I will stop, just stop, you know. But I don't think, while I may stop collecting, I don't think, and even if I sell off the biggest part of my collection, there will always be something there. There will always be a collection there, you know, whether it's down to one DTOF, you know, there will always be something because let's face it, you know, I'm 42, getting ready to turn 43 years old. And Transformers, I've been a fan since 1984, since the day they started. I've been an adult collector since 1999, and that's been continuous. So, you know, it's been over half of my life, Transformers has been a huge part of it. I've met people like you guys, like the fans out there that's met me at conventions and everything. I've met people that I will never... I could never replace. I would never have possibly met pretty much any other way. You know, we connect in ways that, you know, like you said, we sometimes cross over in our likes. You know, I've met people like that. You know, I've got friends in I've been accused of being one of the most well-connected truck drivers that there ever was, because, you know, I've got friends who are doctors, lawyers, actors in Hollywood. You know,
and all across the country,
and all across the not just the country, but the world,
the world.
Yeah. And I've got friends that can see me and know my name and know me, you know, whether it be through this podcast or meeting me and interacting with me at conventions. You know, it's like, I know I can go to the UK and see Sid, and he knows me and I know him. I mean, we may not be the closest of friends, but we're
well, can hang out.
We can hang out. We're well acquainted enough that I know him. I could go to Australia and hang out with Hang. You know, he's a great guy. Hang Yip Chan from the podcast here. He hasn't been able to be on in a long time because, well, Saturday's just is not his I can't do it. It's his I can't do it day. You know, he's a great, phenomenal guy. And Headmaster Don introduced me to him. You know, he's a great guy. So, you know, I know somebody in Australia. I know somebody in the UK. You know, I know people that's lived in Japan. The people that I have met through this fandom, I can't just give up on these people because I enjoy you guys so damn much.
There's another one that comes to mind, Daron, is the one that introduced you and I.
Yes. You know, I've met friends that have now passed on. You know, I'll never forget Chad. Chad usually comes up in my mind at least once a day. You know, there's not hardly a day goes by that I don't think of him in some way, shape, or form. And
saw that when you signed on, Jim.
Yep. Yep. And those who are watching the podcast right now, or even looking at the logo for the podcast, if you see the little CW up in the upper right-hand corner of the podcast logo, that's for Chad Williams. He left an indelible mark on this podcast and an indelible mark upon me. You know, I spoke at the man's funeral. It was one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. And I met him through this hobby. And the thing is, and talking about negativity in this fandom, Chad Williams put up with such negativity that his convention, his small convention, SlagCon, got shut down. I mean, there was literally, the last year of his show, there was hardly anybody showed up. I mean, there was a few people, but hardly anybody showed up.
That was the one in Florence, right?
In Florence. And his large...
It was also Blaster. What was his real name?
Buster Jones. It was his last convention.
Yeah, before he died.
Yeah. And the thing is that Chad had underwent basically a smear campaign through the fandom, and there were several websites. I'm not going to call any one particular out in specific, but there were several websites that blackballed him and would not allow him to post any news, any information regarding his convention to spread it out to the fandom, get it out to the people who would like to attend, simply because they didn't like a certain person that was in attendance, or they didn't like the time of year that he was having it. You know, and the man failed because of that. The man, his financial life was ruined. He was in financial disarray the day he passed away. And that's a sad, honest truth. And you can directly blame that. You know, yes, he made some bad mistakes and bad choices. We all do. But you can directly blame a lot of that on negativity from the fandom. And he fought it till the day he died. I listened to the man cry. I listened to the man laugh. And I listened to the man fight against the negativity that he faced every day. And I will never forget Chad Williams, God rest his soul, for what he has done for this fandom, what he tried to do for this fandom, and what he did for this podcast behind the scenes. Yeah. Some of our first celebrity guests, he got them for us.
You know, we're talking about the negativity, but, you know, you're also talking about a lot of positivity. And this even started out with, you know, Jim saying, don't forget who introduced us. You know, and I made it to the last two SlagaCons. You know, they were small shows, but I had a lot of fun at those shows.
I did too. Every one. I went to all but the first one.
Yeah. Recently, my next video is going to be a room tour because I'm about to start upgrading my shelves, and I kind of wanted this moment in time for it.
Should have bought black.
Yeah. And as I was going through my shelves, every time I came upon one of the SlagaCon customs, I had to stop and talk about it for a quick second. You know what I mean? And so, while I definitely didn't know Chad as much as you guys did, you know, I still got to hang out with him and talk with him some. And I know he put a lot into it. But so there was definitely a lot of negativity with that. To me, the part that sticks around for me, maybe not with his family, with some of the financial issues, unfortunately, but is the positivity. You know, when I look on those customs, you know, it brings me back to those events. And I don't have my SlagaCon posters up or anything, but I see them. They're in my room right outside of here, you know, and I'll see them there and I kind of think about it. I got my stack of SlagaCon stuff.
I have a Vector Zeta, not just any Vector Zeta, Chad's Vector Zeta.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, you know, through the darkness, there's a light, in a way. So a lot of the positivity can still come out of that stuff.
Well, and
I think that's what's important to focus on.
And that's something Jim can attest to too. Is that despite all the crap that he had to put up with on a day-to-day basis, whether it be financial or from the fandom, it was very difficult, very, very difficult for him to enjoy this hobby. But you know what? He still found a way, and he was still happy. He was still happy, even though he shed a lot of tears and he had a lot of strife because of all of this. He still was a happy man, and that's one thing that I learned from him, is that he was able to take negativity and turn it around into a positive for himself and his family. Yes, SlagaCon ruined it, but that didn't stop him from enjoying his Transformers. Matter of fact, his friends and family knew that he loved his Transformers so much, they surrounded his casket with much of his collection. And while, you know, and because he identified with this hobby. Me personally, and I'm going to go on record of saying this, you know, as much as I love Transformers, I don't want them around my casket whenever I die. You know, I don't mind some references here and there.
My wife knows who to contact. She's got a couple names. It's like, if I get hit by a bus, these couple of people here will help you sort through this mess and just give them a commission
and
work it out.
My girlfriend and my family knows the same. You know, pretty much Orson can help, and then there's several of you guys that could come in the event that this something would happen. But you know, the fandom is my hobby, but it is not me. You know, Chad actually was kind of the antithesis of that. We've actually spoken several times. He said that the hobby wasn't him, but you can tell a lot of ways it was. And it was very important to him. And it was his dying wish that his children get his collection. Specifically, his older son, who enjoyed Transformers way more. And he got them. And the last I was able to talk to Kristen, his wife, his son still enjoys them to this day. You know, and it's just a testament of how the man could stay positive and turn the ultimate negativity. You know, his convention, his life was actually ruined through the fandom, but that didn't stop him. He kept going and found a way to enjoy it. And that's something we can all take from it. You know, and I don't mean to bring this up to be a downer at near the end of this podcast, but I think it's more a ray of hope for people who feel really down and really negative in this fandom. Look at Chad Williams. The man was an example. Look at he was an example. And he was a good man. And like I said, this podcast probably wouldn't be around today still if it weren't for him, because all those nights that I bounced ideas off of his noggin and he gave me ideas and thoughts and changes and everything. You know, he was actually the one that spurred me to start the YouTube channel whenever we came back, you know, because, you know, he wanted to help it to use, he wanted it to help him as a vehicle to help Slagicon grow. And we talked about this and, you know, we tried to help it grow. And everything we could do to help get the word out there, because at no time did I say, no, Chad, I'm not going to promote that. I wanted to help him, you know, and the same thing with TF Expo out in Kansas. You know, they're a small convention, and they actually spoke to Chad, the original organizers of that spoke to Chad trying to help get it organized. And, you know, that convention's, it's growing, and now they've moved to Kansas City. From Wichita, you know, this is their first big step moving away from their original city. And I hope that people are able to check it out. You know, I'd love to go this year, but I'm not quite sure it'll be in the cards. But if you get a chance to go to TF Expo out in Kansas City this year, look them up on their website. I don't have it handy right this moment, but, just search for TF Expo. And you'll find it, and you'll find their date and their location there. I urge you to check them out. It's a great little show. But, you know, turning negatives into positive, that's what this episode's about, you know, how to deal with it. I hope you guys have enjoyed talking about this. I know it's something that, you know, not a lot of people feel comfortable talking about, but I think it helps to hear other people, hey, you know, they have these problems too, or they've encountered these problems. Maybe I don't feel as bad about it now.
You fucking nads.
But you know, I just hope it's helped. You know, I hope you guys have enjoyed it. You guys have any thoughts that you want to talk about real quick?
Well, ultimately, as far as negativity, you know, whether it be inside the fandom or outside the fandom, when it all boils down, you engage in a hobby and you collect what you collect because of what it means to you. You know, whether it be childhood nostalgia, fond memories of, you know, family members from your youth, or maybe just a positive experience you had, you know, playing with friends in the backyard. I mean, any number of things. But ultimately, it's just how it made you feel back then, and you trying to recapture that or keep that warm feeling that the hobby or the collection gave you. Even if it's just one piece, you know. I actually, but before we went and started recording here tonight, I actually went through. I don't know if you can see my entertainment center over here.
No, it's not for okay.
Yeah, it's not the greatest because I got a glare from the window. But anyway, on the one side here, this glass door behind it, are all the Transformers and stuff that I and my brother had as kids. I pulled them all out of there, and they're here on my desk right now in front of me. I've been fidgeting with those.
You mean like the actual physical toys you had as a kid?
Well, most of them are ones I've replaced over the years due to various reasons, house fires and that. But there are a few items that are the originals, yes.
That's very cool.
And I figured given this topic we were going to be discussing, I figured, what better way to help I focused on that than to pull out, some of the greatest ones.
Always close to me. This is my original Cyclonus from my childhood.
Purple bunny.
Yep. And if you look, it's the blue ear version.
Ah. Nice.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, right next to him. And I always keep it in arm's reach. My original Weird Wolf. And this is the one from my childhood. The very actual toy. And it's always nice to have a reminder. A lot of people, I know they've said before that they don't have their very first Transformer ever anymore. But I'm one of those few that can say, yes, I still have it. It's right up here I keep it in a knockoff box now. It's part of Devastator, Bone Crusher. But I still have it. And, it's always nice to have those little reminders around of where you came from. Yep. It's really awesome. Christian, turn that frown upside down and say something positive.
Oh, well, I've still got my original Transformer 2, my G2 Space Case.
Sweet. That's a nice one to have, too.
Yeah. He, because of the ball joints, he spent some years not together, but I put him back together right when I started collecting.
And through the magic of future floor polish?
I've never done it. I did get a carded sample of him to keep on my wall, but the original one sits in my dresser.
Still floppy.
He still keeps his ball joints in his dresser.
No, but I think the negativity thing comes down to just live your life. If you got negative people coming at you, don't give them the time of day. Even if it's your family, your friends, if they really loved you, they wouldn't say bad things about what you love.
Absolutely.
So you do you. We like you. And that's what matters.
Yeah. Rob?
I don't think I have anything to add that people haven't already covered.
Awesome.
I think it said it for me.
And Jim, you're pretty much the same?
Fundamentally. I mean, I think the overall takeaway from this, as far as, what all this means to us, it kind of echoes, going back, circle back around, it kind of echoes Chad's approach, is it made it personal. Because
that was his number one thing, with SlagaCon, is make it personal.
Precisely.
Matter of fact, that was his slogan, wasn't it, for a while? Let's make it personal.
I think for the third or fourth year, I think it was. But that couldn't be further, that couldn't be truer. As it was personal then. And it is personal now, and it probably always will be. Whether we still collect years from now or we give most of it up, it's always going to have that special place in our heart for whatever reason. No amount of negativity is going to destroy that.
No. And, like I said before, we've covered this topic before, and I'm sure we'll cover it again because it's something that at least once every year, every other year, I think we find it. We need to find it important because there's always going to be somebody new, either whether it be to the podcast or to the hobby itself, that's going to be running into these very problems, these very thoughts. And there are some people that's been in the hobby for years that may be thinking, is it worth it anymore? Put up with this negativity, to put up with this hobby. Like I said, sometimes the toys themselves, oh my God, I'm spending so much money on these things. What if I spent this money on something else? But the thing is, you got to ask yourself, you're spending money on these because you enjoy them, aren't you? If you're not, then that's why you should stop. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, if you don't enjoy spending your money on these, then you just need to stop.
Cough, cough, Nick G. Cough, cough.
Peter Chavez.
But if you are enjoying it, keep on. You know, find a way to make it positive. You know, it's a hobby, not a chore. Don't make it a chore. Bottom line. Well, I hope this episode has been helpful, and I think everybody said their piece. I want to thank Christian, Rob, Jim, for all being on tonight, and I thank you all for joining us. If you love what we do, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TFYLP. Helps us keep the lights on and helps us do upgrades and everything. And once the new computer's in place, then I'm going to start working on some microphones for some of you, like Jim. I know you've got one, but
I've got a condenser mic.
Okay.
Jim sounds good.
It does.
Video's crap.
It does sound better than he.
$1.99 at Goodwill.
That's a deal. Oh,
not bad. Not bad.
I honestly think it's off a karaoke machine. I'm not sure.
Hey, who knows?
This was a $20 headset from Amazon.
Hey,
it works.
Whatever works. But the thing is that we can't keep going without you. I mean, it's a very expensive thing to do to put out a good quality podcast. You know, and as you can see,
one day we'll put out that quality podcast.
Well, you know, I've been watching the recording here. Everything looks good according to the sound meters and everything. Everything sounds good. So, you know, I'm thinking we're making some progress here. So, you know, and that's just a sign that it is helping and helping us grow. And the best thing that you can do to help us grow is subscribe, like our videos, like our podcasts, and tell other people about us. Tell, you know, nobody will know if you don't say, hey, check out this TFYLP podcast. They're a bunch of good guys. They talk about stuff that a lot of other podcasts don't touch on. You know, we've even touched the subject of death before and your collection. Yes, we went there. Look it up on our website. It was actually one of our best episodes we've ever had, in my opinion. A lot of people gave us some good things. We've even had an episode with our girlfriends and wives on. Yeah.
We needed to do that again sometimes.
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at that. I'm looking at maybe talking to female Transformer fans.
Hi, everybody.
Not Christian's girlfriend.
Whoa.
Why is my hand Christian's girlfriend?
Hey.
That's actually a better situation than what he was implying.
A better one, huh?
He's at least another person.
friends help friends out. Well, the alternative would be to sit on your hand for a few minutes and let it go numb. The stranger.
And here I thought we crossed the line with Rail Racer.
No.
Hey, there's always new lines to cross.
Hey, I'm a truck driver. I have that right. But hey, you don't listen to a podcast named Transformers for your listening pleasure and expect it to be super clean, you know. So hey, and we do have that explicit thing on the iTunes. So hey. we're not super raunchy. We don't talk about vaginas or anything like that.
You just did. You broke it.
Damn it.
Nothing wrong with vagina is a medical term, and guess what? Half the world has one. Get over it.
And some people are one.
I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah. They just they look like a big pile of roast meat.
We probably better wrap up before we say something that is immortalized on YouTube that is going to haunt you.
Oh, we've done that long ago. Time and time again. But thank you for joining us this week. Check us out on Twitter at TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
Later.
Peace, yo.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com.
This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.